Welcome to Focus on the Community, a weekly program that focuses on issues and events in our community.
And happy weekend. Welcome to another Focus on Community. I'm Frank Rush. Good to have you along. By the way, if you like what you hear on this program, you want to hear it again, or there's something you didn't quite hear right, you can always go to our website and listen to it again as a podcast. Ryan Adamson, the Public Information Officer for the Terre Haute Police Department, our guest today. How you doing?
I'm good.
So you've been with THPD for how long now?
15 years.
I thought it'd been a while.
Yeah. I'm an old man.
Is this the first job you did, or is this,
Well, no, I actually, I worked in the Bowie County Jail when I turned 21.
Okay.
And then I was fortunate enough to be hired with the Indiana State University Police, and I was going through the academy for them when I got hired in the city police. So I've been here since 2005. Yeah. And here I am.
And working at the jail, okay, you weren't an inmate, you were actually working.
Well, I wasn't.
Okay, well, it never hurts to ask. So what did you want to do this for?
You know, as cliche as it sounds, so when I was working the jail, I got to know a lot of police officers, more specifically the city police. And I felt like I fit in there well. I knew a lot of the guys. I knew that our mentalities were the same. And to help people. And again, I know that sounds elementary, it sounds cliche, but look, if you can just help one person in this career or change, I have people come up to me all the time, for example, even people that I've arrested come up and they'll shake my hand and say, "Hey, how you doing?" And my wife will say, "Who's that?" And I say, "I arrested him 5 years ago." And she doesn't understand why they would come up and talk to me because I arrested them. It's because I treated them decent. You know they made a mistake. They're still people. You treat people with respect. You treat people decent. When I used to take people to jail, I used to make a point to shake their hand and tell them good luck before I left. And that resonates with people. You know, we deal with people when they're at their lowest times, and you can make or break people during that time. And I take pride in that.
Wanting to help people is one thing, but you realize, of course, too, your job's not exactly what we would call safe. Well, there's a certain danger factor that goes into it, and that's part of what you got to deal with, too.
Well, that's true. But there's danger in all jobs, right? There's dangers in being a truck driver. And you know that going into it. And look, in my personal opinion is when it's my time, it's my time. So I don't worry about that. No. We're all blessed to live another day. And for me personally, my own opinion, when the good Lord decides it's time for me to go, then it's time for me to go.
This job that I'm doing isn't exactly dangerous. I might strain a vocal cord, and that's about it. You know?
Well, I don't blame you for that one.
Yeah. So anyway, THPD, you guys, how big of a department is Terre Haute?
We are actually right now 133 officers, and that does not include civilian staff.
Wow.
We probably have 8 to 12 civilian staff.
Yeah. And that stacks up to our surrounding counties and cities. You guys are, what, 3 times the size of some of the other ones?
Yeah, we're pretty fortunate. We're one of the bigger departments in the state of Indiana. And you know, even the surrounding counties are fortunate. For example, our SWAT team. We have the only SWAT team, with the exception of the Indiana State Police. We have the only SWAT team between Terre Haute and Evansville, Terre Haute and Indianapolis. So a lot of times you'll see on the news, you know, the Terre Haute Police Department SRT team will go to Park County, Clay County, Vermillion County, Sullivan County, and we're happy to help. We're happy to do that. So we're blessed in that aspect, and in turn, we can bless other communities with the tools that we have.
How do you do that? I mean, how does the SRT team actually form? Well, people volunteer to get into it?
Yes. So there's a process you have to be on so long. And then you put your name in. You have to obviously go through a physical agility test, to go through a range of shooting drills, and then you have to go through an interview in front of the team to make sure, you know, you can fit on the team. Look, there's a lot more to it than what people think. They train all the time. You have to be able to shoot well. You have to be able to think on your feet. You're on call every other week. So we have two teams, A team and B team. One A team's on call this week, B team next week, and it rotates. So half the year you're on call. And if you get called, you got to go. There is no, well, we'll talk it out over the phone. You got to go. So it's a commitment. We appreciate the people that do it. And recently the sheriff's office, Bowie County Sheriff's Office, has added a couple of deputies to the team. So now we're creating a joint team, which everybody wins in that scenario.
Yeah. How do you answer? And let's face it, being in law enforcement, you guys get a lot of praise, but you also have your fair amount of critics that are out there too.
Yeah. And sometimes rightfully so.
But how do you answer the critics that say, okay, they understand, well, in certain cases, I guess that SR team's necessary, but I mean, you guys are looking a little, you know, militaristic here.
Well, time is of an essence for us, right? And we have to play things safe. If we didn't take that avenue and we got somebody hurt, can you imagine the criticism we would take then?
Sure. Yeah.
So we play it safe. We do what we call a lot of times a surround and call out. We'll show up in our vehicles. And by the way, we've gotten rid of a lot of our military equipment. A lot of the stuff we have now is made for civilian use.
You've got a new truck coming in here sometime.
Yes, we already have it. And it's a civilian truck, right? Uh-huh. And we've given back several Humvees. We've given back several rifles. But when we show, these are all defensive tools. They're not offensive tools. So we show up, we do a surround and call out. We call the suspect out. And a lot of people will say, well, you guys sat around that house for 12 hours. Why? Well, time is of an essence, and it's on our side. It's on the suspect's side. It's on the community's side. And we have nothing but time. So we wait the person out. If there's a hostage, something like that, then we can make changes to our action plan at that point. But we have to do things as safe as possible. And at the end of the day, the goal is to not get anybody hurt, suspect included, people in the community and police officers.
Right. Now, one of the things I noticed is that this look that some people bring up is when we watch the live PD show, you guys didn't really look any different than a lot of the other guys.
No, it's nationally.
I don't know. I mean, it's necessary, I'm sure, but it's also, don't we all kind of wish for the days where we didn't have to do all that?
Sure we do.
But the situation is really demanded.
Yeah, us included. But, times are different. People walk around with a lot more firepower than they did even 5 years ago, let alone 20 years ago. People, body armor is accessible to the public, and we understand that as police officers. So we have to be prepared. Look, we don't have the luxury of calling the police when we need the police, right? We're it. And so we know that. So when people call us, they need our help, and we have to be able to respond with the right tools. And we're happy that we have an administration that supports us on that equips us with what we believe is the right tools. And again, that spills over to other counties. It spills over to Clay County, Sullivan County, Park County, Vermilion, because we can travel to these other small towns and help them out when needed.
How often do you guys get called out to the other counties?
Quite a bit. This would be speculation, but I'm guessing 6 to 12 times a year, which is fairly often.
Wow.
So.
Yeah. And I guess what's sad is the fact that they feel like they have to call you out. We've gotten to that point.
It's sad that we've gotten to that point, but I will give them credit because they understand the need to be safe, right? Instead of just sending people in, instead of just sending officers in, which can create a dangerous situation for a suspect and the officers. If there's nobody else but the suspect, we can wait them out. We can call an SRT team. We can surround it, draw up a game plan, and go from there.
The live PD show kind of gave us all a little bit of a look as to not only what you guys are doing, but other departments around the country. Obviously, the bigger cities we see, they do a lot more chases and stuff. But we actually kind of got to see behind the scenes. And this is something you don't want the average person on the street riding along with you, because that's a little on the dangerous side. But do you feel that the show got the message across that you wanted it to?
I absolutely do. And look, the reason that we decided to agree to do a contract with Life PD was for several reasons. Number one, it has helped with recruitment. That's a fact. And number two, it's a transparent look of what the women and men in law enforcement go through on a daily basis. It's unfiltered for the most part. Yes, they bleep out words and things like that. But it is a good look for people to be able to short of coming out and riding with us. It's a good look of what law enforcement across the United States go through. Taking people to jail is 15% of the job. Right. Yeah. It's going into illegal fires, dogs barking calls, domestics, neighbor disputes. And people need to see that, pushing cars out of the way. That's police work. It's not just about police chases and taking people to jail. In Life PD, we felt like, at least on our end, was able to show that, it showed our officers pushing cars out of the way, going to illegal fires. Again, it wasn't just chasing people down and taking them to jail. That's a small percentage of police work.
And for the folks that are a little bit concerned about that, not everything that you guys did and not everything that all the departments do actually makes it on air.
That's correct. In fact, from seeing it in a raw version, a lot of it doesn't.
Yeah. But why is that?
Well, there's several reasons, right? A&E has their own attorneys that watch the feed, and they are actually pretty strict about what they allow.
And folks don't realize there's a big delay in that.
There's not a big delay.
Well, it can be, from a couple of minutes to 20 minutes or so.
It can be, yes. But the delay is for safety reasons, and rightfully so.
Yeah.
I'll give you just an example. I'm not going to mention any names. We had an officer that went to an overdose, and our officer worked on this patient, or this victim, I'll call him, for a while, and actually brought him back to life. And we had a phone call from New York, from the New York Region, said that was some of the best work we ever saw in our life. from police officers. And you, I think you and I spoke about that off the air at one point.
But it never made the air.
It never made the air because because of the family members and things like that. And that's the correct answer. It shouldn't, because you have to take that kind of stuff into account. But that's the kind of stuff that people at home don't get to see that the police go through.
Yeah, I don't know. Maybe they should see some of it because I give folks a better idea of what you're really doing out there.
Maybe.
But, you know, but I get why you didn't. You know, and half the time, I remember seeing once, I think, I was here in Terre Haute, I had a drunk that was kept falling out of her chair. Watch that, and I just kind of went, really?
Yeah.
And that's probably more of what you deal with on a regular basis than a lot of other stuff.
Sure it is.
You mentioned it helps in recruitment. So how short are you now?
Well, we're not short.
Okay, you're on. Okay,
but we are going to have continue to have turnover because we're a lot of the older women and men of the department are either retiring.
Yeah.
So we just hired 8 this past Thursday, and so to give you an example, a couple of years ago we had 99 applicants for the whole application process. Our applications have been live. They started February 1st, so we're going on about a month. As of today, as of this morning, we've had 221 applicants. So our goal is, 350, 400. Out of that 400, you can probably guess that four or half that will show up for the actual testing. So you may get 200. And we're just looking for good candidates. So it used to be we had the luxury of people just coming to us, right? Yeah. We would put out, hey, in the paper, on the radio, hey, we're hiring. Yeah. We'd get flooded with applications. It doesn't work like that anymore. And that's not Terre Haute Police specific. That's law enforcement nationally across the board. People aren't showing up. People don't want to do the job. So we've really had to make an effort, social media, radio, TV, billboards. We've really had to really go out and basically create a campaign for hiring that we didn't have to do 5 years ago.
Is that because maybe the job is more difficult now than it used to be, or because people realize how difficult it can be?
It would be speculation for me to answer that, but what I would say is yes.
A little bit of everything.
I think it could be a combination of, and let's face it, as a parent, my wife and I have 2 daughters. I wouldn't want my child going out and facing danger every day.
Yeah.
But it's a necessary job. Somebody has to do it. And we appreciate the people who step up and who are willing to take the risk on behalf of their community.
You said you're taking apps. Okay, so what does it take to actually be an officer? I mean, obviously you don't want somebody that's a convicted felon.
Correct.
That's done stuff. I mean, you can't have a record.
So you can't have a convicted felon. We get people who say, I've been arrested for a misdemeanor. You can still apply with that. The only exception to that is domestic battery, because in the state of Indiana, if you've been convicted of domestic battery, you can't carry a handgun.
Right.
You can't carry a firearm.
And that's part of the job.
That's right. So we encourage people to apply. Let us filter through the application and talk to people and see what's going on with them. And it can be an intimidating process. It's not your local job where you come in, fill out the application. We say, hey, Frank, you're hired. You're going to start Monday. It can be 6 months, 8 months before this whole hiring process is done. It's an in-depth process. It's become more in-depth in the last 2 years or so. And we really look into candidates, to their background, to their financial situation, to their drug use. And so we encourage people to apply. It's very easy. It takes about 2 minutes to apply online. And then they'll get a letter and it goes to a physical agility test and a written test. And then it goes on for background investigation, merit board interviews. And it goes on from there.
And you guys really do work very hard to make sure that the people that you hire, and I'm not making fun of anybody, but make sure that they are mentally stable to be able to handle this, because you basically have life or death situations in your control.
Yeah. And what happens is when you apply to any police department, Metropolitan Police Department in the state of Indiana, you go through what is called PERF, and that's Public Employee Retirement Fund. You go to Indianapolis and they actually do all that. You talk to a psychologist, they run a gamut of tests on people. So we deal with that a little bit here, but more importantly, once they're given a conditional offer of employment and they go to Indianapolis, it's a lot more of an in-depth look into somebody's psychological mindset and their physical mindset for them and their medical background.
How hard is it to actually get to be an officer?
It's not hard.
No,
it's not hard. You just have to apply. And look, it took me 2 or 3 times to apply. So people just have to keep applying, and you have to pay attention. If we get your applications and something's not right on it, it's going to be disregarded, because we have to have people who pay attention to detail, who do it right, who can follow directions. But it's not hard. We look for the common people, if you will. People say, well, I worked at a factory. You know what? You'd be a great police officer. If you can treat people well, if you have a sense of humor, if you can laugh at yourself, if you can take things serious, but not take everything too serious, man, you'd be a great candidate.
It's not all about writing tickets.
That's a small part of it. Yeah.
Yeah. So what's the biggest misconception about being an officer that the general public has?
Well, that's a good question. And I don't know that I can give you a solid answer on that. What I would say is,
let's just take a stab.
Don't get paid for taking people to jail. If we take nobody to jail today, or if we take 100, our pay is the exact same.
Yeah.
Personally, if we write tickets, We don't get any more pay for that.
Now, you don't get a percentage of the tickets you write, do you?
No. So the notion that we go out and just simply just to make arrests, I think is false a lot of times. You know, we have great officers, we believe. We believe they do make a difference in our community. And, you know, I think a lot of times people forget that we are people in the community. For example, my wife's a teacher in Vigo County. Mm-hmm. We have two kids who attend the school corporation in Vigo County. I have a vested interest in making Terre Haute and the surrounding counties a safe place. I want my children to live there. I'd like to see my grandchildren there. So we are people of the community. You know, we don't just come to Terre Haute, work like robots, and then go home. Our spouses work in the community. Our children interact within the community. So again, we work there, but we have a vested interest in making Terre Haute, the Wabash Valley, a safe place to work, to play, and to live.
You're going to have a new headquarters coming up here probably before the end of this year, as it looks.
I think so. I think by fall, it's looking that way.
Yeah.
So
excited about that.
Yes. We are excited. You know, it's a lot more room. It's cheaper than the original plan. It allows for expansion if we need it. It's centrally located. And I think it's a win-win for us and the people that we're doing business with.
People don't realize, but what do you need room for? Because let's face it, you guys spend most of your time, as the general public perceives it, you spend most of your time in a car on the street.
Yeah, 60% of the department does that. So you have the other 40% who are detectives, administrators, property, for example. We're busting at the seams with evidence and property.
And there's certain rules and regulations about how you
handle
that.
That's exactly right. And how long you have to handle it for. Yeah. So we're not at liberty just to destroy found property because we can't find the owner by law, by statute. And I don't know exactly what it is off the top of my mind, but by statute, we have to hold property and evidence for so long. And again, we're busting at the seams. We don't have room for it anymore.
And it's been like that for quite a while.
It's been like that for a while.
Yeah. So, all right. Well, is there anything that the department needs that you haven't got yet that you're trying to work on? I mean, outside of the HQ's coming this year. So that's really kind of a problem that's already been dealt with. So is there what's the next thing?
You know, just support. And we get that. You know, we were talking about social media off air a little bit. We're blessed in that aspect. And we all know that social media can be a double-edged sword, right? But we have a great following. More importantly, when we ask people to interact with us, they do, and we appreciate it. Look, we can't be every place at once. We don't know all. We don't see all. And when we put stuff on social media and ask for help, people are willing to step up and help. And what that does is it provides us the opportunity to be able to make arrests. More importantly, it provides closure to victims in their families. And at the end of the day, that's what it's all about.
I will say that, you know, obviously as a broadcaster in the news business, we would prefer that you come to us. But with that said, if you guys are looking for shoplifters and you've got video surveillance of somebody committing, I mean, we just had one here. I don't know if you've arrested the person here or not, but somebody that robbed a Walmart and you had the video camera of that, the still that was put up. Folks can really interact with you quickly because you can throw a picture up like that. And more often than not, there's somebody out there that, oh, I know that.
I'll tell you, this is going to be a blanket statement, but when we put something up on social media, if we're looking for somebody locally and people know who they are, within 5 minutes to a half an hour, we have that person ID'd.
Really?
Yeah, it's that quick. And again, it's not because we do great work. All right. Now, I believe our officers do well. But it's because we have a community that's willing to step up and help us. Without that, we wouldn't be able to solve 3/4 of the crime that we solve.
And that's a good thing, too.
So, yeah. I mean, people, and just to put people at rest, we're not in the business of telling people where we get information. If we were, we would be out of business. So oftentimes people say, can I tell you this anonymously? Of course you can. Of course you can.
But let that be a message to those of you that may be thinking about committing a crime. There are cameras everywhere, and somebody knows who you are. And if you're one of those people that commit crimes, somebody probably doesn't like you and would love to be able to turn you in.
Yeah, we get all kinds of tips all the time. And again, we're thankful for that. You know, a lot of communities don't have the community support that we have. We know that. We hope to continue that. We're grateful for it.
Well, and like you said, your job isn't really to arrest. It's just to help people out. Yeah, which I'm sure the sheriff likes to hear you say that, too, because of the jail.
Yeah, it's to provide closure for families. Yeah. You know, and listen, not everybody that makes mistakes needs to go to jail.
Yeah,
some people do, but not everybody makes mistakes. And we understand that as officers, and sometimes we have discretion. Sometimes we don't. Sometimes that's the law. And we don't write the law. We have to follow the law. You know, our officers know that, and
so you're gonna be
a lot of good.
You're going to be back on TV maybe later this year, perhaps, or not. I know they said that they might come back, so
I would say the chances of us being on live PD are pretty good. We'll just leave it at that.
Yeah.
Probably this summer.
How's the crew when they go out with you?
They're excellent. So I had them over to my house for Thanksgiving because they couldn't. Well, they could leave, but they had a day turnaround.
Yeah.
And they're great, man. They have a lot of stories. They've worked on a lot of reality shows and have just, they've been all over the world. And you know, what's funny about that is they would call and say, hey, Frank, we need you in California tomorrow to shoot. What's the crab show up there that they have?
Oh, I don't know, but I know what you're talking about.
But they would say, Frank, we need you to be in California tomorrow. And you pack up and go to California. I mean, their family life is, it's pretty hard. So, hey, Frank, we need you to go to Indiana tomorrow and be a terrible police department, live PD. Or we need you to go here. They're freelance artists who travel over the place at a minute's notice.
Now, if folks want to apply for Terre Haute Police Department, where do they go?
They can go to TerreHautePD.com and go to the bottom of the page. That takes you to our website. You can click employment opportunities. And again, it probably takes 2 minutes, if that.
Ryan Adamson, the Public Information Officer with the Terre Haute Police Department. Thanks for being with us today. That's it for this week's show. If you missed any part of it, want to hear it back again, head to our website and check out the podcast there. We'll see you next weekend.
You've been listening to Focus on the Community, a weekly public affairs program that focuses on issues and events in our community. To be considered as a guest on Focus on the Community, contact us by calling 812-420-2518. Be sure and tune in again next week at this time as we focus on the community.